today. Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Revelation 21:1 reads and says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this vision we have in the future, Lord, with you, of a time of no more pain or sorrow and crying, Lord, that you will make all things new. Lord, we pray you would bless us in the time that we're in now, Lord, that we know that it is not the way the world is right now, and we just pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would be faithful to you in this day and age, that you would help us to become overcomers, Lord, throughout whatever trials we might face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to picture for a minute, if say you had a shipwreck near an archipelago, and you had several months after the shipwreck was found out about, that people come and they have search parties go out on these different islands trying to find survivors. And on the one island, they find a person, but they only find their body, that they made it to shore, but they died, that they were not able to make it through. Then they come to another island and they find someone that's survived. They're a survivor, but they're not doing very good. They're emaciated, they're half crazed with loneliness, and they barely made it. But then you find on a third island that there's somebody that isn't just surviving, that they're quite comfortable, that they've made themselves a little shelter for themselves, that they've been able to catch some food and learn to fish and other things, and they, even though they're grateful to be rescued, they're doing okay, that they're actually thriving in that situation. And we understand that kind of these three principles. This is, of course, just an illustration, but in certain situations where you can find that the choices that we have is to perish or to survive or to thrive. And we see this pattern throughout history in many ways. We think of the great wars that our forefathers fought in, that some perished, not only from the battle itself, but from disease, from even shell shock and other things. And that there are many, of course, that made it through, that they survived, but they came back wounded in body and in mind in many ways. If any of you spend time with different veterans and you find some of their stories, the things that they went through, that it's been a very hard thing. But then there's a few that they seem that they enjoy being in it. I remember reading a story. I've been reading stories of some of the Victoria Cross winners to the kids. And there's this one man by the name of Fred Tiltson who was here in the Victoria Cross in 1944. And he was fighting, and his company was running out of ammunition. And so he raced across the battlefield to the other company to get ammunition. And the commander of the other company, he said that he saw him coming. He wasn't worried. He had just a smile on his face. And he sauntered more or less in and said, We're out of ammunition, what can we have? So we supplied him. And he was, of course, bleeding from a number of wounds, and we patched him up and sent him back. But the thing that really struck me, that was Fred was enjoying himself. Here he was, this commander was terrified that he was what was going on most of the time, and this man, Fred Tiltson, was wholly enjoying what was happening around him. And we think, well, that's just, the person has to be nuts or has to be, not have his, must have been hit by a bullet or something, not thinking right. But we find that it's an amazing thing that we find it throughout different situations in life, and especially in the Christian life, that there are a great many things that happen, and we can pass through rough seas as Christians. We understand that we are in a great conflict between. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. And if we were to separate into these three thoughts of perishing or surviving, like making it through but just barely, or thriving, I'm sure all of us, we'd like to be in the last category, where things happen, but we're the better for it. We're faithful, that even if we're in difficult times, that we're able to do right. That we are an overcomer. That we succeed. That we don't give in. And we desire that to be. That we want it to. It says in James chapter 1, it says, "Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And we'd like to be able to say that we can count it all joy, but of course we find that that's a hard thing to do many times. That's what we would desire, but that's often not where we're at. And it is something that we want that to happen. We don't want to be overcome with evil. We want to overcome evil with good. And so this thought of being an overcomer, it is something that we desire. That as you read through the first few chapters of Revelation, how the Lord's speaking to the churches, that he ended off with each of them and says, "Oh, he that overcometh, this shall happen to them, that they'll be blessed." And we read that in Revelation chapter 3. It's just one instance of that. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." And so we desire that we know that the Lord has these blessings promised if we overcome. And we understand that as well in our own life, how much of a blessing it is to ourselves. It's just when any time you're in any kind of competition, it feels great to win. It's you know that you're supposed to be a good loser and everything else, but winning is so much nicer to be in. And when you go through a difficult situation, and yet you make it through, you do the right thing, it makes you feel good, you've accomplished something. But then the situations where you have, when things don't go right, when you know what you want to do, you know what you hope to do, but then when you get in a situation that you find yourself that you're not acting the way that you hope, and it feels horrible. It's kind of like you wish that you could have an out-of-body experience just so you could beat yourself up, that You feel ashamed, and you just wish that you could have done better. And we think, well, how do I get beyond this? How do I get this strength? Because we feel that our strength is failing, that we're at a point where we can't endure, and we don't want to be in that position. And sometimes we look at the challenges that we're facing right now, or challenges that we would face, that we think, well, could I handle that? That we've been going through the book of Acts, and we think of the persecution that the early Christians faced, and we wonder, well, if that happened in this country, would I be able to stay true to the Lord? Would I be willing to give my life for Him? It's something that we hope to do, but we wonder, well, when it comes, will that happen? And sometimes we see all these things that happen or could happen, we think, well, how can I even survive these things, let alone thrive in those conditions? And it's kind of like the children of Israel before Goliath, that they were afraid to even stand against him. We understand that the battle was the Lord's, that God could have used any single one of those people to step forward and have that victory over Goliath. But no one was willing to, until David came forth. This young boy said, well, hey, no one's going for this, I'm going to step forward, I'm going to... All this prizes and the king's, I get to marry the king's daughter. If I get this, I would do it for free, but I've got all this other stuff to look forward to as well. And so he stepped forward and he gained the victory. And so we want to see, well, how, when these difficult things, first of all, how do I survive it? How do I make it through so it doesn't overtake me, so it doesn't cause me to stumble and fall so much that my Christian life is a wreck? But we also want to see, well, how can I thrive? How can I be an overcomer? So the assurance we have of each of these comes from the Word of God, and that's where we have to start, that we don't want to just have our mind on the situation, on the circumstances. We want to realize that God is in control and God has a purpose in all of these things. You turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, that we have the assurance from God's Word that whatever trial we face, whatever it might be, that God will give us the grace to make it through. And we see this, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And we understand that we have a weakness within ourselves from our own sin nature. It's our own worst enemy. And that when we are tempted, it is because we are drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. And we understand that any kind of temptation or trial that's put in our way, the devil hopes to use it to exploit our weakness, to destroy us, to make us take us out of the game, if you will. And he wants us to fail and to give up. But we understand that God has his own purpose in this trial, that he only allowed us to be tempted above that, or only what we are able to take on. And we understand that he brings a trial along our way in order to show us that we're weak in an area, because that's something that he wants us to see. He wants us to be strengthened. And he allows it to happen in a little way, so that when it gets to a big situation, we'll already be prepared for it. Because he knows if we get in a big situation, we fail, it'll devastate us. But if we get a little victory bit by bit, then we can be strengthened. And so that's what he does. He exposes our weakness, but not so that we would despair, not that we would feel that we can't make it. But we see that he also makes a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That whatever trial there is, that sometimes we get into it and we get so discouraged with it and we think, well, I just can't win. But we realize this is a trial that the Lord has allowed. There is a way of escape. I need to find it. It's here somewhere. I just have to keep looking until I find it, a way to bear it. And we understand that his grace is sufficient to us, even in our weakness, that he can give us the grace to help in time of need. But we want to understand that God's plan for us as believers is not simply to just make it through, just to survive. It's something that sometimes that's what we're concerned with, especially if we have a difficult time in our life. It's just kind of, well, I want to make it from sunup to sunrise sort of thing and get to sleep. I want to make it through the week. But the Lord wants far more than that for us. We see in John 10 verse 10 it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." That he wants us not only to live but to have an abundant life. He wants us to set our sights higher than that. It's something as parents, as we raise our kids, that we sometimes can get the thought, well, I want them to make it through their teenage years without getting into drugs or other things. I want them to just kind of get through it without getting into too much trouble. But the Lord wants to set our sights higher, that not only do we want that for them, but we want to train them up in such a way that they're ready, that when they step into adulthood, they're ready to take on the world, they're ready to change it for the better, that they're ready to make a difference in the generation that they live. And that's what we want to desire for them. We think of a church, sometimes we can get in the mindset of, well, I just want to kind of, we want to hold on to what we have and be faithful till Jesus comes and kind of keep on to what we have where the Lord wants us to continue to be reaching out, continuing to seek the lost, continuing to grow spiritually and to become stronger. As it says that we want to be a servant where He finds us watching, He finds us doing, He finds us active, that we're doing His will, that we don't want to be the thought of the one that where His talent was hidden in a napkin. We want it to be someone that's been busy in the work of the Lord, that our talent gains more talents for the Lord. And that's the thought as well, that we don't want to just live a life as a Christian where we're just trying to make it from one week to another. We're just trying to kind of make it from one paycheck to another, but it's the thought that we would be productive, that we would be fruitful, that we understand even the trials that we face, that the Lord is purging us so that we might bear more fruit, that He has a plan for us, this abundant life. And this plan for us is to be overcomers. And so we understand, well, I'm just having a struggle making it through. How can I have victory? How can I be assured of this? And we see that assurance from the Word of God. If you turn with me to John chapter 16. And we see in John chapter 16, it speaks, he tells them, he warns them that there would be persecution and other things. And he said in verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That Jesus Christ Himself has gained the victory. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That He gives us the victory, that He gives us the ability to have victory over sin and death, that if He can conquer death itself, that it isn't something that people have to fear anymore, that we know that He gives us victory in all other areas as well. And it is that thought that we have. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." That we cannot simply exist, we cannot simply survive, but that we could even triumph in Christ, that He causes us to do so through Christ, through what is done. That we read in Ephesians 6 of how it speaks that we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, so that we'll be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. That it is in His power and not in ours alone, but that power is available to us as believers when we've trusted Christ as Savior, that it isn't something that He just saved us from hell and that's it, that His He saved us to the uttermost as believers, and that He is not abandoned us or anything like that, that He is still there working with us and wants to give us victory day by day in our Christian life. We see this if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And we see verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And that thought that we are more than conquerors, that it isn't something where we just seek to win over those that might go against us, but even though we can be more than conquerors, that we can win those who are enemies, our foes, that we can win them to Christ Himself, that they can become our allies. We think of just how great it is that we can be, that it is much more than that. It isn't about winning just an argument of the day or anything like that, but that we can have this true victory that's eternal and everlasting. And it is through Him that loved us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His power. We see this in Revelation 12, in verse 10. And this is, of course, during the time of the tribulation where the devil is cast out of heaven. It says, verse 10, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." That we understand that because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the living Word, and because of the Word of the testimony, the written Word, that they were able to have victory, that they overcame Him. And we understand that what Christ did on the cross, that when He had done everything that was according to the prophecies, He bowed His head and He said, "It is finished." That He completed all that was necessary. And we understand that because of what He did on the cross, that we have access to the Father, to the throne of grace, that we can go before Him boldly to find grace to help in time of need. That because of what Christ has done, that He is able to empower us to have victory. That we have the Holy Spirit within us that enables us to do what is right. That we can make it through even in a difficult situation. We see this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4, it reads, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And we see the wording of that. It's not that we will overcome them, we should overcome them, we ought to overcome them, but we have overcome them. That it's in God's eyes that it is a sure thing, that through His Word, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have that victory, and through the Holy Spirit that is within us, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And we wonder, well, what makes the difference? How do I get the victory personally in my own life, in whatever I'm facing? How do I become an overcomer? What makes the difference? And we see this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And that is what makes the difference. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That the faith that we have in the midst of the storm, that we trust in the Lord, that we're willing to give our lives to Him, that we learn not to rely upon our own strength, because we know that we don't have what it takes so often to make it through different trials. And sometimes when we think it we do, then the Lord will bring us through a trial that will bring us to the breaking point, just so we'll acknowledge that it's beyond our ability to handle. And we understand we may not have what it takes. We may realize that, confess it, but we know that He does, and He's willing to give it to us, that He wants us to make it through. He doesn't want us just to to barely get by. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be an overcomer. And as we trust Him, even when it gets darkest, when we look to Him for strength, that we're able to do great things. And we see the testimony of that in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, begin reading verse 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon of Barak, and Samson of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. When received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." And we see in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And we think of that as these, through faith, that they were able to do great things for the Lord, that even though they went through difficult trials, they stayed faithful, that we realize that we can do the same, that it is God is the one that has the strength, and as we have faith in Him, that we can have victory, that the Lord wants us and wants us to understand that it is possible, that we don't have to despair, we don't have to think that I just can't make it through, or I'm just going to have to make do. He has a way to give us the victory. And it's something that we seek for. We realize it's there. I've got to find it. There's a way to do it. And it's through the faith of the Lord, and that we pray to Him, we seek His strength, His enabling, until He gives us that ability to make it through, even in a difficult time. And we think of the one hymn, it says, "By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by." That we would do that we look at the passage that we read at the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth, of where we would come, we could drink of the water of life freely, that there would be no more tears, that it will all be a memory one day, but that we would endure, that we would overcome, and that we would be able to sit with the Lord on His throne, that we would receive crowns to cast at His feet, because He is the one that gave us the ability to overcome, but that we could do that, that we would not allow the devil or our flesh to convince us that we can't do it, or that we just have to struggle through life, but instead that we endure hardness, that we look to the Lord for strength, and He gives us the victory, and that we overcome whatever we might face and bring honor and glory to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your Word, Lord. We thank You for the truths You have placed therein that show us, Lord, that we can be overcomers, we can have the victory. Lord, we pray that You would strengthen our faith. You would help us, Lord, to stand strong in Your strength, Lord, and not in our own. And that You would help us, Lord, that we could thrive in the midst of adversity, Lord, that we could be a great testimony for You, no matter what trouble we might face, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand once more. We'll turn to hymn number 43 and sing "We're Marching to Zion," hymn number 43.